And good morning, everybody. Great to see you. Saw a few new faces, so if you haven't met me, my name is Ian. I am one of the pastors here, but it's great to see you. January, we get to start everything all over. Everyone, has anyone made a New Year's resolution yet? Okay. A resolution to get your foot better. Do that. Well, yeah, so we are starting this month, and as we talked last month a little bit about the vision of our church of Grow 55 and 25, to speak about throughout the year, to give intentionally of our time, our efforts, our talents, our tithing and everything to the Lord, and then to also think about how we are going to reach the world around us consistently, obey faithfully, and worship deeply. And I know we might listen to that and say, we do that, but there's always room for improvement, right? There's always room for, how can I do this better? And that's what happens every new year. People make all these New Year's resolutions. The gym parking lots become full for 2 months. Things happen. But this year, as a church, we want to strive to grow in our relationship with the Lord, grow in our understanding of what the Lord is asking us. And by doing that, like grow numerically, grow spiritually, grow in our heart for the Lord. And today we're going to start that by talking this month where this is week one of our new series. It's about a four-week series that we're going to go through stewardship. And what does that look like in our life? So stewardship is not merely just a task or duty, but it's this profound privilege that is given to us by a higher power, by the Lord. It's a responsibility that requires us to be diligent and continual and conscientious in the management of all that has been entrusted to us. So when somebody gives us something to look after, we want to take care of it. We want to leave it, you know, the saying, leave it better than you received it. And that's what we want to do in our life. So when we dive into this essence of stewardship this month, we want to uncover this deep-rooted connection to this plan of this divine plan that the Lord has for everything that he's created. So it's about recognizing that everything we have, first and foremost, is the Lord's. Everything is the Lord's. And we're called to oversee and nurture these gifts with reverence and gratitude for what he has given us. So as stewards, our role extends beyond mere ownership, because we don't own it. We're stewards of it. And we are tasked with the preservation and enhancement of what God has entrusted us with. It includes not only tangible assets like land, resources, our house, our things that we receive, but also intangible ones such as relationships and gifting and our talents. So stewardship is about this sense of unity together with all living beings, all things around us. And it's really a call to action in our life to use our resources wisely and compassionately for the greater good, for the Lord, and ensuring that there's a legacy of care and respect for generations to come. So if we go back to the beginning, all the way back in Genesis 2:15 says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." It's this first act of stewardship that we are talking about, that the Lord has said, here, take care of my creation. It wasn't Adam's creation, was it? It wasn't their thought process. It was the Lord's. And the Lord said, here, take care of this for me. And he entrusted that to them. And after this first act of stewardship, if we want to jump all the way ahead and we want to go to the New Testament, this theme of stewardship is reflected in various areas, but in Colossians 3, verse 23 through 24, it teaches, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So these verses emphasize God's ownership of all things in the earth and the earth itself and everything. And it is our responsibility to care for it with the understanding that the Lord has entrusted us to do that. So, kind of a thought, like if you see an egg, if you go buy an egg, okay, we all have eggs, maybe in our fridge. Maybe some of us have chickens and they give us eggs, okay? You take an egg, it's your egg, it's what you do whatever you want with this egg. You can throw it at a wall. You can throw it at your brother or sister. You can do whatever you want with this egg because it's your egg, correct? Now, take that same egg and someone that you look up to or someone that you don't know, and they come up to you and they say, this is a very special egg. I need you to take it. Hold it. Take care of it for me. I don't want anything to happen to this egg. It is the most special thing that I've created. And can you hold this for me? That egg has a new sense of importance, doesn't it? Same egg, same properties of the egg, but by being entrusted to take care of this, your mindset switches, correct? So this is what the Lord is doing in our life, that we have to understand first and foremost, if we are going to be good stewards in our life, we have to first understand our main point this morning. The first point is recognizing that God is the owner of all. In order for us to be good stewards of what God has given us or blessed us with, we have to understand that it is not ours in the first place. I do not own anything. The Lord does. And it is my job to bless the Lord in what he has given me. All the blessings I have are from the Lord. And if you, just that simple switch of understanding that it all is from God allows us to understand that, oh, I'm taking care of this for him. Whether it's your family, whether it's your children, whether it's your friends, whether it's your gifting, whether it is your possessions, the Lord has given it to you to take care of it to glorify him. Psalm 24, verse 1 declares that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So this verse leaves no room for misunderstanding concerning God's sovereignty and ownership. So earth, encompassing the whole physical world that we know of, that we are a part of, while everything in it and all who live in it extend the ownership universally to all of creation. So this truth transfers custodianship, but not ownership. We do not own what is in the world. We are custodians of what the world has through what the owner has given us. Okay? So Jesus illustrated this principle in the parable of bags of gold found in Matthew 25. So in this parable, we hear that the master is delegating stewardship towards three servants, okay? One receives five bags, okay? One receives two, and then one receives one. And if you can go into Matthew 25 and read the whole story in detail, but to sum it up, after they are all given, the master leaves for a time, and when he comes back, they come forward and he asks them, "What have you done with what I have given you?" The one with five comes and, like I said, I'm paraphrasing, okay? But he comes with five and says, "I have doubled. I have made five more with what you have given me. I have taken ownership of it. I've taken stewardship of it, of what you own, and I have doubled it for you." And the same thing with the person who has two, comes forward and says, "I have also doubled what you have given me." And the person now who has one, who was given the least, comes forward and says, "I have buried it. I was fearful. But here's what you gave me. I'm giving you back exactly what you gave me. I didn't do anything to it. I didn't grow it. But I didn't lose it." Right? At least I gave you back what you had. But when this happens, the master praises the two that have doubled what he has given them. But the last servant's neglect results in rebuke and loss because he did not do anything with what he was given. So this parable underscores the accountability we have using God-given gifts and talents effectively to glorify him in our lives. Okay? The master represents Christ, and Christ has given freely to all of us according to what he wants to give us. If you are receiving two, don't get upset about the fact that you're not receiving five. Or don't gloat about the fact that you didn't receive one. God entrusts to us what he wants us to have. But it's our responsibility as good stewards for what the Lord has given us to take what he's given us and produce fruit through what he's given us. So the master represents Christ, and the anticipated return symbolizes this final judgment about when we're asked, "What have you done with what I have given you? Have you glorified me? Have you enriched and grown the kingdom of the Lord through what I've given you?" So we can ask ourselves a few questions thinking about this, about stewardship in our own life. One, are we leveraging our gifts as Christians to serve the Lord? Are you using what God has gifted you to serve the Lord? Do our efforts through the gifts and provisions God has given us praise the Lord and advance his kingdom? With what you have, with what God has entrusted to you, with what gifts and talents he's given you, are you using them to glorify him and advance the kingdom of God? Or are you hiding it? Or are you not using it for that benefit? And thirdly, are we hiding our gifts, hindering the potential to grow God's kingdom? Because the Lord, everything on the earth, all living beings in it are the Lord's. And for us to be good stewards of what the Lord has given us, everything that I have, the breath in my lungs, the ability to stand in front of you when I am the most introverted person in the world. We've talked about this before. I'm scared of public speaking. You can't ask me to describe a turtle to you in public. But give me a Bible and a group of people, I will preach all day. If I don't use that gift, what good is it for the kingdom of God? If you don't use your gift to glorify the Lord, what good is it for the kingdom of God? And Peter provides further insight into this stewardship in 1 Peter 4, verse 10. It says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." So each of you describes our individual responsibility to what God has given us. And use whatever gift is, use what God has gifted you in It's not about looking to someone else and saying, man, I wish I was that person. What benefit would I be, or Jermaine when he's preaching, or Pastor Sean when he's preaching? What benefit would it be for us if we're standing up here talking to you going, I really wish I had a church of 5,000 and I was on TV and I was doing all this cool stuff. That's not glorifying God for what he's given me to do or any of us to do. God put us here. Use us here for his glory. So use whatever gifts you have received. And using whatever gift insists on action and intent, encouraging us to use what we have been gifted in. Because what you are gifted in might not be what I am gifted in, but we are all members of the same body of Christ. And my gifting over here can be used for something else. Walking down an aisle, my left arm cannot reach what's on the right shelf unless I throw my body out of whack. So my left arm does my left arm thing. Left arm, my left hand writes. Okay, my right hand can't throw a ball. But you use your talent for what the Lord has created. A foot does not try to be a hand. Right? A head does not try to be a kneecap. It would look pretty weird. It wouldn't make any sense. But use your gifting to glorify God for what you have been gifted at. But we need to recognize that God is the ultimate owner and approach our resources, our talents, our time, our effort, our finances, glorifying in our life. And serving others in this verse is indicating that our gifts are meant for communal benefit. It says each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Believers are called to diligently steward the gifts that they have received for God's purpose, honoring him through their actions. And we can start this by praying, acknowledging God as the owner of all things through prayer in the morning, whenever you pray and say, Lord, thank you for what you have given me. Thank you for the life you have given me. Thank you for the situation that you have put me in to be around the people that you want me around. Because maybe it's not the most amazing situation. Maybe your job is not the most fun job. Maybe your boss is the biggest pain. I don't know. But God does. And God knows that he put you there to be a light to those people in your life. So maybe when the next time you think, I am just a mechanic. What good is that? I fix cars. And no offense to anybody if you're a mechanic. That's my trade. Okay, so I can make fun of myself. But when we think of that, not all of us can fix a car, right? But when you're in the shop fixing a car amongst other people who may not be Christian, God has put you there to use your gifts and talents to spread the gospel to your coworkers, to the people that you're working on the car with. It doesn't mean, yes, sometimes you go into a place and they say, hey, you cannot mention God here. Right? You know, you might have come into that, you know, in your job or something like that. That's okay. I'm not going to say the word God, but guess what? God lives in me, and I represent God through my life. So you can shut my mouth, but you can't stop my actions. So if God is in your life, and you're a mechanic, and you go to that person, and they say, you're different. Usually people are trying to screw me over, trying to act like something's wrong with my car, but you're being super truthful. Maybe that puts it in their head. People are good in this world. You never know. Maybe that's the person that came in praying, God, if you're real, do something to prove it. and you're the person that wasn't mean to them. And they go on about their day, and they figure out a year later that they know that it's Jesus Christ who loves them. You have no idea what you did. You have no idea what the decision they made, but you were a big part of the impact in their life. And it only happens if you steward your talents and the gifts that the Lord has given you for His glory. But we do that remembering, firstly, by understanding that it is His in the first place. And secondly, we need to be faithful in stewardship. So Paul addresses this topic of faithfulness and stewardship in 1 Corinthians 4, in verse 1 through 2. He says, "This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given trust must prove faithful." So Paul is speaking directly to the Corinthians, because as we know, if you were here, you don't know. The Corinthians are pretty divided, and he's responding to this division that they have. They don't even know who they are faithful to in leadership. They are wanting to, they're like, "We trust Apollos. We trust this person over here." And Paul is reminding them, you need to regard to us as servants of Christ. Because there, Paul, what he's doing is acknowledging that he is not the owner of what God has gifted him at, which is sharing the gospel. He is not the owner of it. He's just a good steward of what God has given him. And he's directly speaking to them. So he's calling for recognition of true apostleship, asserting that faithfulness and servitude to God should be the foundation in all that we do. And our acknowledgement of God as the source of all gifts lays the groundwork for understanding this necessity of faithfulness. Because when we realize that it's God's and He gives it to us, that sense of, oh, I need to take care of it now. Believers must maintain focus on Christ, recognizing Him as the root of all that exists. Remaining faithful to God prevents us from wrongfully elevating ourselves to the center of importance, when the fact is that God is the center of all things. We are never the center. God is. We must remember that we are blessed with something that God requires us to manage wisely. And Romans 12 reminds us in verse 4 through 5, "For just as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually parts of one another." This passage reaffirms that every believer's gifts and purposes are to serve the body of Christ. And this is pointing us back to last week's message. In John 15, it says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." When we focus and realize that God is the center of our life, and not only realizing that, but taking hold of it, growing in our own life, giving responsibly, giving intentionally of our time, throughout our day to know the Lord by praying, reading our Bible, understanding, like asking ourselves to understand Him better by meeting Him where He is, and reaching consistently to those around us by doing what the Bible is asking us to do, to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We do that by obeying faithfully to the Lord. And I truly believe that when we give intentionally, reach consistently, and obey faithfully, we have no choice at that point but to worship deeply, because we realize who we are worshiping. And that becomes the foundation of who we are. So without remaining part of Christ, our gifts become ineffective to glorify God. If we're not faithfully aligned with Jesus, our efforts fail to bear fruit to the world around us. So true stewardship ensures that we are utilizing our God-given talents for the glory of Christ, to benefit the entire church, to benefit the advancing of God's kingdom. And that is what we are called to do, to live our lives for the glory of God and not ourselves. So to be faithful in stewardship, one we need first, obviously we need to realize that we are stewards of God's provisions in our life. And then we're going to take an assessment of what God has given us. And assess, maybe throughout our day, throughout our life, how do I manage my time? How do I manage my talents? How do I manage my treasures that the Lord has given me? And we should commit to faithfulness, both in what you might think is minor, and all the way up to what you think is absolutely significant, doing it, all of it, in faithfulness to the Lord. And by doing so, we maximize our potential through faithful stewardship in the Lord of the God-given resources that we are entrusted to. So we first set the foundation of understanding that God is the owner and creator of all things. And then secondly, we understand that we can begin to understand that all things we have are a gift from God, be used for God, to glorify God in our lives, to the world around us. And this brings us to our third point this morning, that after we realize and create this foundation of truth in our life and understanding stewardship, we then begin to use our gifts for God's glory. In 1 Peter 4, just to remind us, says, verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various form. If anyone speaks, they should do it as who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. So Paul here is underscoring that using God's diverse gifts to glorify Him by serving others through what you do. Our talents and abilities are intended to serve others and collectively pointing hearts to Jesus Christ. So stewardship calls for effectively and intentionally applying our talents to build God's kingdom in our lives to the world around us, by serving Christ, who first served us. Christ's life, his whole life, was about serving the world around him. The perfect example of a good steward for what God has given him. Everything he did, all the interactions he was a part of, were used to glorify God. Even at times, if people might look and say, well, Jesus seemed angry at this moment, it was because it was being used to glorify God in that moment, and it needed to be done. But it wasn't because Jesus was that kind of person, because everything he did was to glorify God. His whole life was devoted to the Lord. And he did that because by first setting the example of being a good steward, but he also knew the foundation was through God. Everything was through God. So we need to emulate that in our life. We need to show the same thing by serving as Christ served. Believers not only draw closer to God, but invite others to also find Christ for themselves. So it's not about walking away from the Lord to do what you want to do. It's about growing closer to God in your life while simultaneously saying, hey, come join me, because I'm following him. And you're not following me. I want you to follow him with me. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 7, Paul reminds us, says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So Paul is talking about this the people generously sowing reaps an abundant harvest. And this principle applies not only in spiritual ways, but in physical. And it reflects God's generosity. So being faithful stewards demonstrates our love for the Lord and draws people to Christ through intentionally living our lives for Him. Giving back to the Lord from His blessing yields spiritual fruit, demonstrating our faithfulness and gratitude to God in our own life, but benefiting others for God through our own actions. So whatever God has blessed you with, whatever God has entrusted to you, are you being a good steward of those provisions from the Lord? Are you allowing it to be used to expand upon the kingdom of God, or are you hiding it where it benefits nothing in your life or others around you? Being faithful to God's provisions in your life is knowing that God is the owner and wants to use these things that He has entrusted for you to glorify His kingdom. I'm going to invite up the worship team. So as we move into we're in 2025 now, as we pursue God's vision at Antioch Wesleyan Church, I pray that we embrace our mission to love God, love people, and reach the world. But it's through our vision to grow 55 and 25. To welcome 55 new people in our church. And I know that might be like, wow, we are a small church. How is that going to happen? Because through God, all things are possible. And I pray that by us learning to intentionally give, continually reach, faithfully obey, and deeply worship, that God will bless our church by us using our gifts and talents to glorify Him to the community around us. So stewardship embodies faithfulness and aligns our heart with God's vision to reach the world. So recognizing God as the owner and using His gifts and for His glory is essential. So as we go through this series for the next few weeks and as we move into other series, my prayer is that we continue to grow in the Lord. And during this, we thank God for Jesus in our life, this ultimate example to us of true stewardship. We're blessed with His life, His birth, His full life, His sacrifice, guiding us to glorify God through our own. And as we continue this morning and the worship team plays, we're going to transition into a time of communion. And we take this time to remember Christ and His sacrifice in our life. And I would like to take this time for us to bow our heads and just pray and invite you to either commit your life to Christ if you haven't already, or to recommit your life because maybe you've walked away a bit. But I pray that as we hand out the elements of communion during this last song and we take communion, I pray that you would search your heart and ask yourself, am I being a faithful steward of what God has given me and blessing those around me in my life to see God in theirs? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and faithfulness that is present in all of our lives. You, Lord, are the Alpha Omega, beginning and end, guiding us from creation to redemption through the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and into all eternity. And Lord, we are grateful for who You are. And I pray right now that if there is those who have not yet accepted the Christ, have not yet accepted Christ into their heart, but know that he's there and want a relationship with him, so they too can understand that he is the foundation of everything, that he is the owner of all, and we want to become good stewards of that, Lord. I pray that if that is you, if you would like to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning and accept him and acknowledge that he was born, lived his life, died for your sins as a payment for your sins, so that you can be with him. So if that's you, I pray that you would pray this prayer with me this morning and say just, Lord, I confess my sin and ask for your forgiveness in my life. I pray that you would enter my heart as my Lord and Savior and be with me from this day forward. I pray that you would take hold of my life and guide me by the power of your Holy Spirit so I can use my gifts, be a good steward, and glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice, and guide us as your faithful stewards. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.